Hi everybody, Shauna here from Wellness Seeker. So this is one of our pre-recorded videos. So we're not live in this. This is a pre-recorded video, and there'll be lots of these coming down the line, especially in 2021. So this has been recorded for our podcast, and it's also been recorded for our Facebook channels, our YouTube channel, and our Instagram channel. So I hope you really like this new format that we're presenting you. Tonight, or it depends what day you're watching this on, but tonight's video really is about hope and healing. It has been a small series that we've been doing on hope and healing and what it is to heal, what it's like to be in a healing journey. And the intention, I suppose, behind this is to help you if you're in a healing journey, if you're on a healing journey, if you're stuck in it, if you feel like you're going round and round in circles, if you're exhausted by it. If you feel lost in it, then this video will hopefully point you in the right direction. But more than that, hopefully the video will help you see maybe how to get out and give you lots and lots of hope that it's possible. And to that end, I want you to welcome our lovely guest, which is the lovely Billy. And we're going to talk to Billy about this healing journey, about her healing journey in particular, and about our journey together, Billy and my journey. So what we're going to do here is we're going to open up with a question, and then Billy and I are going to have a conversation, and you guys are just going to eavesdrop on the conversation, and we hope that it's fruitful. That's all we can wish for Billy today. Billy's got her tea sorted. I don't. She's better than me. She's well organized. So yeah, Billy, if you could just start us off with your own healing journey, what that healing journey was like. And how long of a healing journey have you been on? I suppose that's a good question.
Wow. I suppose looking back, it's probably been maybe a good 15 years, really,
Wow.
in terms of the desire to kind of sort myself out and what was going on for me. But I began person-centered counseling training in 2010. I completed it. I began it in 2007. And that's really, as you know yourself, the training turns you inside out and everything. And that's when I realized, shit, there's a lot of stuff here. And I'm learning to try to help other people and facilitate a space for other people to heal. But Pandora's box is now being opened and can't be closed again. And that experience was overwhelming.
And I think that's wild important. There's a few things that you said there that I think other people will resonate with. The idea that Pandora's box is opened and that you can't shut it down, because I've had a similar experience. And the other idea is that it took 15 years. I love that, because the preconceived notion is that you can come in for 6 sessions and then you can go again.
Crazy.
Not your experience, no.
No, I don't think it's most people's experience, depending on the level of difficulty, your history, levels of traumas or wounds, as you would call them. 6 weeks might be enough to sort of stabilize a really difficult scenario emotionally, but you're only beginning to sort of dig deep and get in a good couple of months in. Now, obviously, sometimes people can come with relatively simple sort of wounds, if that makes sense, and they can get a lot from it quickly. But it's not been my experience, and certainly not a lot of people that I've worked with. It's sort of a long process. It's difficult. It's hard work, but it's worth it. Like, but it's not easy at all.
And so what was your experience? What was the beginning? If you had a timeline, your experience, what was it like?
Well, I suppose I trained in person-centered psychotherapy, so I liked the idea that, you know, we often grow up in families and things like that where you're kind of told how to feel or told how not to feel. And what's wrong with you? Why would you be upset? So I loved that person-centered was very about sort of holding somebody where they're at, and there's no judgment on that. And that was
Acceptance.
really, yeah, it's like, wow, this is amazing. And there is so much healing in that. But I suppose for me, I just felt as if the biggest issue going on in my life emotionally was anxiety. And the person-centered stuff didn't seem to sort of to rid that or help me to rid myself of that. I mean, I remember one supervisor, a lovely woman, sort of saying to me, no, maybe you just suffer from stage fright when you're with clients, and maybe psychotherapy isn't for you as a therapist.
Wow.
And I thought, stage fright, why is there stage fright? What's underneath it? Which you know all about. So never really got to the bottom of that. I mean, we did a bit of psychodynamic theory. You know, I don't want to get too boring, but you know, you get a lot of analysis about people's behaviors and narcissism and all these big words, and you learn lots of things about why people behave the way they do.
Yeah.
But my experience was, but I still feel a hell of a lot of anxiety. So why isn't this working for me? And I tried CBT. Again, there can be great person-centered ideas under it and lovely therapists out there. But this idea, you can't have two thoughts at once. So it's almost like, think positive. And sure, that would be gone for you. And for me, because the anxiety wasn't gone, I was even more of a failure. I'm a trained therapist. I've tried loads of therapy. And before I got to you, and this is probably one of the maddest things I ever did, I paid a hypnotherapist hundreds of euros, convincing myself this has got to help me somehow, because the anxiety was becoming unmanageable.
Yeah.
Certainly after the death of my dad in 2016, it was through the roof. You know, to the external world, I was still living a really normal, functioning, happy life.
Yeah.
But internally, I was devastated daily.
Yeah.
Scared daily, you know, sad daily. Like, I feel sad thinking about that person.
Yeah, but I've been in that place. But what's interesting is the way you describe the many therapies which are helpful, without a shadow of a doubt, helpful. And, you know, you talk about theorizing, you know, being understanding of things, understanding of the why.
Yeah.
You know, knowing why, because of this situation or that place, or because of that, you know, because of that experience, whether that be in family life, whether that be outside family life, that you had all of these situations and all of these things, and you understood it theoretically, not just because you were trained therapist, but because in therapy we're taught to see it through theory's eyes.
Yeah.
So you have a lot of information about stuff.
Yeah.
You have a lot of understanding about stuff.
Yes.
But you still don't get to that what place. What is it in me?
Absolutely.
What is it I'm feeling? What is it I'm thinking?
Yes.
But I hear you saying a wee bit more than that. I hear you saying when even you got to the what, you were stuck in the what, and try to overcome it with positive stuff.
Absolutely. And the hardest bit about that, and I have a real issue with what I would call, and I know Jeff Brown talks about it and various other people, but this idea about feigned positivity. Like, positivity is amazing when you're feeling it.
Yeah.
When you're trying to sort of say, feel good, I'm confident, all is well, and you don't feel those things.
Yeah.
For me, it served to make me feel even worse about myself.
Yeah.
Like the Louise Hay, I ingested that book, You Can Heal Your Life. What a great woman. I'm not trying to run that down. It just didn't even touch the surface. For me, these affirmations and the idea of gratitude when you're not feeling well in yourself can almost serve to sort of make you, as you talk about a lot, Shauna, treat yourself even worse in difficulty.
Yeah.
Like, look what you have. You have a really nice husband. You have a good life. You're not in a third world country, like dealing with war every day. What's actually wrong with you?
Yeah.
So actually, for me, the affirmations, the positivity, the change of thoughts weren't helpful to me.
Mm.
I had yet to come to a place of understanding that my journey and my past had affected me in a very specific and particular way.
Yeah.
We're very guilty of this happened to that person, so this is how they're going to feel. They're going to be depressed. They're going to be anxious.
Yeah.
That's not my experience. That's not anyone I've worked with's experience.
Yeah.
So obviously, you know, when we come on to talk about what you do, that was the game changer for me, sort of really digging deep internally about the specific way that what had gone on for me in my life had affected my thoughts, my feelings, my experience of myself.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't in books.
No, because it never is, as it?
Yeah. No.
Because it's so individual.
Yeah.
It's so specific.
Yeah.
It's so important that that's, you know, that if anybody listening to this gets anything from this, that your journey is your journey, that your understanding of yourself is because of your journey, because of your experiences, because of the way you interpret the world. And that's not in anybody's book.
No.
And that you can't cover that, that you can't sue that in affirmation, that you can't stop that from coming, that gratitude can't allow that. And what's interesting, and I'd love to hear it when we're finished, but my experience about gratitude was really funny, because it was in the undoing of the stuff, the stuff inside me, the feelings, the beliefs about myself, the pain of the experiences that I had. It was in the undoing of that gratitude was a natural part. I don't know.
Absolutely. Like, that is one of the maddest things I've experienced in my healing journey. And you talked about it in your TED talk.
Yeah.
I have started to feel the most intense feelings of joy, you know, like even looking at my daughter and things, and my heart could burst with love because I've been allowed to clear the debris, like the pain. And we've spoke about it before, you know, I'm not a psychiatrist, but, you know, postnatal depression is bandied about a lot. Yeah. I would have a lot of friends that are new mums, things like that. I've worked with a lot of mums.
Mm-hmm.
And 99% of them would say to you that the birth of their child, or certainly first child, seems to just open up this flooding of fear, scary thoughts.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, you've got this huge responsibility and you're exhausted and there's no manual and you're so vulnerable. And I think for me, every unattended to wound is now bust wide open. And we're all calling it postnatal and treating it with medication and never getting to why.
The why.
You know?
And it's in this conversation that we're talking about the why. Not the why it happened, but also what it actually is in detail.
Yeah.
Because it's only in the what. It's only in the specifics. It's only in the minutiae.
Yeah.
Of what it is that's in your heart and in your head, can we begin to clear and then welcome joy and welcome gratitude? And that joy and gratitude can be a part of your healing journey. There's no doubt about that. But there's something forced about it whenever you're in so much pain. There's something uneasy about it.
Yeah.
There's something futile about it.
Yeah, band-aid-y about it. It's but you're being grateful for what you have.
And that helps you to move the emotional content, the debris, as you call it, away. But there's something about the healing. There's something about getting to the specifics. And we'll talk about that now, because I think that'll be helpful for everybody listening. There's something about the specifics. There's something about the detail. There's something about that that's incredibly sore. The goatee, I mean, excruciating, and your mind does all sorts of mad stuff to get you away from it. But there's something absolutely powerful once you get there and in the clearing of that.
Absolutely life-changing. Mm-hmm. Like, my biggest interest in you is what you do, how you did it. I know we'll come on to it, but obviously I was a client of yours. And feeling the relief after every session was unbelievable for me. And I just kind of, it forced me into it. What is it you're doing? Because for the first time, it was getting to the exactly why. And it was kind of, wow, there's a shift. There's an understanding. I get that now. I feel that.
You know? Because that's the difference. Do you know something happened? Do you know that you've had a difficult experience? Do you know that you've had a trauma? We talk lots about traumas, big T, small T's, and the idea of trauma. But do you know that you've had a difficult experience? Well, I think we all know that we've had difficult experiences. But it's what that difficult experience did to you.
Yeah.
It's what that made you think. It's what that made you feel. It's how that pattern got locked in your body.
Yeah.
And the revisiting of that pattern and the undoing, the picking apart of that pattern was the work that we do.
Yeah, absolutely. And
go ahead. No, go ahead.
Because I presented to you really with anxiety, that was the really biggest issue, was anxiety for me. And you helped me through your mapping to break down the pattern of that.
Yeah.
Psychologically. So the idea of, oh God, the shortness of breath. Oh God, here we go with the weakness. Yeah. Oh my God, I'm going to go crazy. Oh my God, people are finally going to see this. I'm going to lose my job. Da, 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 da. Yeah. And we undid all of that and unhooked all of that. And obviously then in terms of people, places and things and what was triggering the anxiety, we could understand, you know, the boss makes me feel. And then it's kind of like, well, you feel that because why? Let's look at that. Where did that start? So once we could get under that anxiety, it was quite incredible.
And do you remember that at the beginning? Because I certainly do. I remember at the beginning, and this is, I mean, we're talking 4 years ago now. I remember at the beginning having to wade through the theory, because you were laden with theory.
Yeah, I had to unlearn loads.
And you giving me the theory for what it was you were presenting with.
Absolutely.
And me saying, yeah, who cares?
Yes.
Who cares? Not interested. Don't care. Don't care where book that came from. Not interested.
Yes.
What do you think? What do you feel? What's happening inside you?
Yes. But that is the problem. It's the snag with the culture. It's the snag with the way we are reared. You know, for me, this is another reason why personally centered therapy just didn't feel enough. You get stuck in story as a client and as a therapist on the journey with the client.
Yeah.
So we would often talk about this now in the work you do, certainly the work I'm now doing, this idea that we can sit here for 20 years talking about that person who seems to be off the chain.
Mm-hmm.
And it is creating X, Y, and Z for you. But they're not actually the issue. It's not to say that what they're doing isn't okay.
Yeah.
What we're interested in is how that is affecting your internal world.
Yeah.
And what is that? And where did that start?
Yeah.
And for me, once that started to be looked at and shifted, there was kind of no external triggers anymore. It was, okay, did that person annoy me that much? Because they're sort of irrelevant now.
Wow.
I don't mean in a bad way, but the triggers fell away because I learned that really they were just as painful as they were at the time, really helpful reminders of what's going on inside
you.
When people are poking their fingers, it's great because it shows you where the pain is.
Brilliant, because what you're saying is, and I think this is most people's experience, what you're saying is that what you bring, which are the people, places, and situations, were never the issue, although you could spend 20 hours talking about those things and never get anywhere.
Absolutely.
Or you could spend, you know, 20 hours talking about the theory of where you are and why you are where you are, because people are, you know, the theory is that someone has, you know, narcissistic personality disorder and they're causing this pain in me.
Yeah.
But really, when you start to look at the pain in you, all of that stuff dissolves, all of that stuff goes away, because now you're focused on what it is in me that is being triggered, what it is in me that is being, what was my thoughts and feelings. And then when we start to heal that, they become a non-issue.
Absolutely. And I think it's important to say that people can be the cause of your traumas. They very much so can have done things and everything that have been absolutely horrific. But actually the real work goes on in what has happened inside you as a result of that.
And I think that is,
and that's the most kind of powerful tool in terms of healing.
Mm-hmm.
Because once that shifts, like you say, they're very irrelevant. Like I really had to look at a lot of different relationships and things that really weren't good for me that I might have presented with sort of, I'm in pain because of these. And then I figured out, why am I in these?
Mm-hmm.
Why do I need to be in that?
Mm-hmm.
And made sense of that. And that's when the journey really got fast, you know?
And so a lot of our work would have been finding the what does this mean to me? What did this do to me? What did these things that happened to me do to me? What did these experiences do to me? But there was a big piece of our work that wasn't cognitive.
Yes.
That if I remember correctly, even that was a shift. Getting to those pieces, getting to that what isn't a cognitive process.
No. Mm. And I think, and anyone who watches your videos will understand that we're very afraid, like, of anxiety, different things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, in a funny way, that's trying to protect you from painful things. That's like your bodyguard in the way.
Yeah.
The anxiety is like, no, you're not getting in here.
Yeah.
So even though that's super, super scary, that's standing in the way. So once that was gone, we could kind of get under that.
Yeah.
And that was, for me, cognitively, I was unlearning theory.
Mm-hmm.
I was getting rid of reasons for X, Y, and Z. And I struggled to get into the body, which is all about what your work is.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what I needed to do, because I came away from years of therapy with lots of cognitive understanding, but a body still ravished with anxiety and pain, which is actually probably the worst place to be in, as you say, awareness. But the pain is like horrific.
Yeah. But if we stop there, and then we'll deepen into what the body does and how we can get into the body. But if we stop there, I think it's important because, you know, there's some people who come into this for the first time and haven't entered the healing journey before. And there are some people come into this watching this who've been 20 years in a healing journey and know the theory and know the what and know the why, but don't know the what, know the why, know the exactly, could tell you 10 million stories.
Yeah.
That are stuck in the story, that are stuck in the detail, that are in such awareness. They could write books and stuff.
Yeah.
They could write, I mean, I'm sure you could write, you could have wrote 20 books on theory of therapy, but yet nothing had bloody changed.
No.
Nothing.
Internally, not at
Internally,
all.
Nothing changes.
No.
And the difference is when you use the body, and what was your experience of using the body, and why was that so important? Why was that a game changer for you?
I think, you know, I've learned, and certainly through your work, that we, to quote yourself, are meaning-making machines.
Mm.
So we have to find meaning in things. So cognitively, we'll tell ourselves things about things, and that can keep us really trapped in the understanding of what's happening. So I learned as a client with yourself to almost disconnect my busy brain from what was happening viscerally or in my body.
Yeah.
And once we could kind of undo all of the stories that I had around feeling feelings and understand the function of emotion and how emotions need to rise so that they can fall for good and how they need to be felt.
Mm-hmm.
Or they hang around with 25 friends until we pay attention to them.
And they bring suitcases.
They do. They actually, they're squatters. They've had squatters' rights for years.
Yeah.
But when I learned to somatically heal, to let difficult feelings be felt in my body and allow them to rise, actually, you do get sort of gifted with the memory or the memories of where things began. And it's kind of a freaky experience because you're kind of like, whoa,
where'd that
what
come
was that?
From?
Where did that come from? And you've gone right to the root and right to the source of how a situation, big or small, has changed the way you see yourself in the world just like that.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden, all of these people, places and triggers that are sort of sticking their fingers in the you're wounds, stupid or whatever the wound is, you know, you're not smart or, you know, are really, really causing horrendous pain. But we now discover through somatic expression of feeling where it started. And once we can get that out and obviously test it for truth, it's gone for good. I remember being in the room with you and kind of, right, where have you put my anxiety? What are you doing here? This is weird. Is this hocus pocus?
And messaging and saying, I haven't felt this feeling. Where's it gone?
Like beyond incredible shift.
Yeah. And for anybody watching, I want to explain a wee bit about that. What we know, you know, through the CLEAR method is that the wounds that we hold are held somatically in the body, they're held emotionally in the body, and the residue of those experiences lie in the body. And they have this somatic pattern, this emotional pattern, but they have this cognitive pattern as well. And when we only search in the cognitive pattern, we get lost because we're meaning making machines. And what happens is one thought leads to another, 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 and stories are born and stories are formed, and stories are followed, and stories are more stories come from the stories. And I'm sure you understand that's most of our experience. But when you drop under the body, because the residue of the experience is in the body, then we can start to feel what that was like. We can start to feel what happened is in that those experiences. Mm. We can start to feel the what. Once we feel the what, we can bypass the mind's need to sort and label that, and we can then see the cognitive pattern that comes from that what. And then we're gifted the memory, and we're gifted the understanding, and we're gifted the detail. And there's not a story in sight. I think, is that a fair enough example of what you experience?
Absolutely, Shauna. Yeah, and sorry, like when I say disconnect the thoughts, like the cognitive pattern is very, very helpful.
Yes.
So, and certainly for myself, you know, really scary thoughts can kind yes. of ground your head, and emotional sort of connections can be made.
Yes.
So, say if somebody has a thought that's a bit scary or a bit weird, but there's no kind of wound there, it'll yeah. just kind of come and go.
Yeah.
But my experience was
yes.
once it was something attached to a wound, that became a repetitive, scary thought. And then trigger of emotion.
That's right.
And I think that's a lot of people's experiences. We label things like intrusive thoughts and mm-hmm. all this stuff. But my experience with myself and my clients is the cognitive patterns are very useful. Often yeah. people say, no, look, I've been having these mad thoughts. They don't mean anything. There's no point in talking about mm-hmm. it. And I'd often say, well, let's talk about it.
Yeah,
let's see what it is. It's part yeah. of something.
Yeah, because your mind is benevolent and pointing you in the right direction. Your
yes.
job is just to trust it.
Yes.
So when we're working in the body, so what we call this is a bottom-up approach. So we're working in the body to the mind to allow the mind to inform us, and then we're working from the head down to the body. And it's that kind of loop,
yes.
isn't it?
Yeah.
And how would you describe working that way? And what was that like to work that way at the beginning when you'd never worked from the body up before? What was that like for you?
As a client?
Yeah, yeah.
Very strange, I suppose. Mm. Like very strange to be repeatedly asked, how does that feel?
Mm.
How does that feel?
Mm.
Because quite often in therapy for me, you know, I'm really fabulous therapists, they'd be sort of giving you strategies to manage
yeah.
difficulties
yeah.
in real life.
Yeah.
And they're grand, they help. You know, I would have delivered CBT-based mental health programs to young people and things. And those things definitely help. The idea
yeah.
of exercise, eat well,
yeah.
try and sleep
yeah.
as much as you
yeah.
can. That helps the brain.
Yeah.
It definitely
yeah.
helps our nervous systems to calm down.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't really cut the mustard. So as a client, it was strange, like feel. Okay, we're very feeling here. I remember coming away from some of our sessions thinking, wow, you're an emotion-focused therapist, because
mm-hmm.
that's something we had looked at yeah. in our training.
Yeah.
And it was a bit new for me, but it was really what I needed, because I was so ravished with difficult feeling that it was exactly what had to happen.
Yeah. Yeah, it was trapped in the body, and our
yeah.
only way to get it was through the body.
Yes,
yeah. And so you talked a wee bit there about getting to the body and, you know, and making and undoing that meaning. And once you got under the actual specifics of the what did this do to me, how quickly did you find it shifted?
Oh, just incredible. Like, sometimes I kind of go, is that it? Because we test things for truth as well once they were out. You know, something might have felt real then, but it's most certainly not real now. And
mm-hmm.
the shift would be incredible, but it felt too good to be true. I was
yeah.
kind of looking behind the couch going,
yeah.
is she for real?
Mm-hmm.
And then I noticed myself, I suppose I'm a curious person, wanting to take notes about what it was you were doing, like wrecking my husband's head going, what does she do? Why do I feel so much better? this is really weird. Oh, that doesn't annoy me anymore. Oh, right, does she bother you? I didn't even notice. What? The shift was humongous.
And I always think that's that your body shifts first. When you shift that emotion, when you shift that pain, when you shift that wound, your head's often the last to catch up.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And your head can play catch. It's like, I should be panicking here, or I should be really sore here, or but it doesn't happen because when you move the wound that is inside, and you know, we could talk about wounds, we could talk about core wounds, we could talk about all that, but you know, if you're interested in all that stuff, we've like thousands of videos on all of that, but we're just, you know, and I don't mean to skip over it, because if you come into this for the first time or this video and you're listening to this, you're thinking, what are they talking about being in the body? What are they getting in the body? What we're getting is a core wound, a wound that has happened through an experience where you've told yourself something about yourself and the world around you, and it has seared itself uncognitively, and it's seared itself unemotionally, and that's the thing that gets triggered. And if we don't uproot and move those, then what we are left with is triggers. We're left with places, people, or things. We're left with anxiety. And what we're talking about here is getting to the root of that through the body, unrooting it, letting it go, and then being left in this place where your head's like, where are we? What happens?
Yeah.
What happened? And it takes a while for that to catch up, doesn't it, Billy Buck?
Absolutely, it does. And I know, you know, you would often say the phrase like the Vicky Pollard, like the yeah, but no, but. Because sometimes your brain will sort of say, no, hold on. I still know the evidence as to why that's still true.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, and sometimes there are other pieces that need to be cleared away, but it's the brain and the head and the aware mind certainly catches up last. There's such a physiological shift. I think for me, what was really nice was just finding myself. I suppose for me, one of my big managements of the anxiety and different things is just like a busyness and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And just kind of finding yourself maybe dathering, having a look out the window or a cup of tea and then going, oh, Jesus, what am I doing? Where am I? Because all of this stuff is now just ease. The nervous system has settled down. And
there's a new you that's developing, but it's not developing through I must do A, B, C, and D. It's not developing in that way. It's a really natural evolution of self, isn't it?
Yes.
Once the wound's gone.
Yeah, it's kind of like going back to your childhood in a way, because they say really that as a child, don't they, like, that's who we should all be, like, free to express who we are, you know, like, to be the person that we should have been before the world kind of got their hands on us. You know, that kind of idea.
Well, Carl Rogers talks about that, doesn't he? He talks about that we're born our real selves. And
authentic.
Authentic real selves, and all this stuff gets in the way. And what happens is that stuff stays clung to you, and you just find these ways of managing the wounds. But when you're peeling off these wounds, and we did work hard, Bill, you worked incredibly hard, like, you know, to peel off the pieces of the wounds, then what you're left with is closer to your real self.
Yeah.
On an evolutionary basis, continuously closer to your real self.
Yeah.
But you're really only catching up, really, aren't you? You're moving towards your real self and then thinking, God, I'm finding myself more joyful, more, you know, more grateful, finding myself not so busy, finding myself not so, whatever that is. And that's a big shift.
Huge shift. And maybe less interested in things that didn't serve you.
Yeah.
And not so interested in behaving in a way that the conditioning of being around others means, obviously you've got to behave in certain ways professionally and things, but you're just more aware of your organic responses to things and ways of being than, oh, I should say this, or I need to shut that down because no one does emotions here. It's kind of none of that. It's just like a real safety and trust in your own person.
Yeah, it's a real autonomy.
You make, in those moments, because you've got yourself there, you know.
But I think that's what's wonderful about this conversation, that in that hard work, because what we've just talked about through the basic conversation is the journey, which is the turmoil, the Pandora's box, the not knowing where to go, the being stuck, the trying a million different things, the doing anything to get, you know, I have a phrase, you would actually sell your granny.
Oh, yeah.
If you thought you could get rid of this pain, because that's how horrific it is.
Yeah.
the thoughts, the pain in the body, the trying everything, the pain, whoever you could get your hands on, the bloody bit. And the trying of the all of the positive stuff, and there's no room. And then once you get under the body and clear the what's out of it, then all of that stuff opens up. Then there's this new you. But it's not because someone on Instagram told you it's good to put on boundaries. The boundaries are a natural part of clearing.
Completely.
Is that fair enough?
Absolutely. And new choices are being made. You know, certainly for me, you know, different relationships than that wouldn't have been maybe healthy in my life. And sometimes I would look back and kind of feel sad for that person. But, you know, and we talk about human need psychology and the need for love and connection and sometimes sort of staying in toxic things because that human need. And it's great to sort of see that wash away. And to kind of reflect and go, no, that's not a good choice for me. Yeah. You know, and it's such
naturally.
Yeah, it's such a huge shift that it's a bit, I kind of describe it as sort of waking up with a different personality. It's a bit strange at the start.
Although it does take time to unfold. It's not like a switch or, you know, and there's a, you know, but that's brilliant because that's how it works. And that's certainly my experience. So, and I know, you know, from working with lots of clients, not just yourself, that is the experience of clearing when you clear. And that's why we call it the clearing method, I suppose. Yeah. Because you're clearing these wounds out, and the more wounds you clear, then the more you're able to be yourself, the more you're able to be yourself, the more joy there is. And it's not pseudo joy, it's not pseudo positivity, nothing's fake about this. But also your availability to whatever's left. So some of the, maybe there's some other fragments of pain that you haven't seen. Your availability to that is also there as well. So there's this constant evolution. I don't want anybody to think that, you know, that you live in la la land, or not you, but, you know, us, that you live in this perpetual joy. It's an in and out experience. Is that how would you describe it, like that?
Like, I know the term like self-actualization and all that, you know, Maslow talks about it, and Carl Rogers talked about it, that idea of once all of our basic needs are met, all that stuff, we can become anyone we want to be and constantly continue to improve and all the rest. But for me, it is like you say, you're always working on something. You definitely don't get to a final destination where, I've cleared all that stuff now. Like, I'm enlightened. Like,
that's
never part of the human condition, because life is so unpredictable. And things happen. And how we react to things can shock us as well. So I think that you're always working on yourself. But the key thing with this work is once the key core stuff is cleared away, you know, we talk about resilience. Suddenly your ability to deal with the things that life throws at you feels way more manageable. There's an internal kind of, okay, wow, what just happened there? Need to have a look at that.
Yeah.
You know, so you're always working on something.
Yeah, but I think that's a lovely way to end the healing journey, because I think what we know through this work is that we have the power to heal ourselves. We have the power to drop, if we drop into the body and use all the tools that we've talked about, and that you're on an evolutionary journey of becoming your real self. And it's constant, but the big stuff's cleared. The big stuff that was blocking you's gone, and you're freer and more freer to be who you are and who you've always meant to be. I think that's my experience. I wonder, is it yours?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, you sort of, you become reborn in a way, like if I'm allowed to use that term. You've just rid yourself of so much difficulty that you just start to make choices that are, I think, inherently good for you. And it feels good, you know.
And one of the choices that you made after we had finished was to train.
I absolutely had to train in what you were doing. I mean, I'll be honest with you, another big reason I came to you in the first place is because my own anxiety was blocking me from being able to be a therapist with clients. I just felt like the world's biggest phony, a therapist with anxiety. So for me to sit with you, be able to clear everything that was going on, the big stuff inside me, and I had remained working in the caring profession, so I knew I wanted to work helping people. For me, I was like, I have to learn how to do this. so that I can use all of my skills. I suppose without sounding kind of corny, the process of becoming more myself led me into a deeper belief that this was part of my calling, to facilitate this healing with clients, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
so
no,
I
it makes
knew
sense.
I had to know how to do what you were doing, and also to be able to confidently offer people something that was actually really visibly helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah,
a modality that works.
Yeah.
And I would joke, I describe it as doing 10 rounds at Mike Tyson as a client. It's hard work. But if you've been in and out of counselling before, you kind of already know that. So now when you see stuff that actually shifts you and moves you, it just feels, it actually becomes a bit addictive because you just want to clear everything.
Yeah. And you don't give yourself space. You don't give yourself space just to be in the pain of stuff.
Yeah.
Isn't that a lovely, that's a lovely place to be. But I suppose for me, it has been a pleasure to be then in training with you. And it has been a long journey. That has been a long journey, long experiential journey. Per you, Billy, you've been putting up with me for 4 years.
No, you're fab.
And what we're about to do is, it's a beautiful thing to have a sidekick, someone else who's trained in this modality. And who's about to start, or who is helping others in this modality. So it's really wonderful for me.
Oh, that's lovely. Because I understand that it's a little bit unorthodox as well, like in the therapy world, to, be a client and then all of a sudden when that work is finished, be trained by your therapist. And I think because we both come from that background and you're all about autonomy and we had good boundaries and it always felt really safe. Mm-hmm. It just felt really, really natural to do it.
And to do the training, honest,
And I think, Shauna, every training you offer, whether it's a small package, a big package, long-term, short-term, there's always this idea of like work on yourself experientially as you learn to do this to help
so
others
important.
To heal.
Yeah,
because it's not about sitting in a lecture hall and just listening. It's about working on yourself so that you understand the process to help someone else do it.
Absolutely.
So I think that's why it felt so safe to do the training, and it has been life changing. I mean, I would argue every relationship in my life has changed. And I know certainly my husband, if he was a millionaire, would write you a couple of checks. Really, thank you.
Tell him I'll check them now if he's writing them. That's fine. That's absolutely fine. But I think that's a lovely conclusion. Not everybody that goes through the clearing method wants to train on it, but just so happened that you were already a therapist and had a keen interest and a keen eye on it. And we find ourselves in this position where you are now trained on it, but not at only, 2 years experiential therapy and then another 2 years of training. So, I don't say that lightly. I think what you've done is very brave. I think also what you've done tonight is help so many people, pointing out the journey, pointing out and hopefully anybody's watching this, you mightn't be able to get yourself to a clearing specialist at this moment in time as we record this in late 2020, but by the time the next year and the following year comes, we hope to have an army of specialists who are trained in this. But if you can't get yourself to a clearing specialist, what you should do is get yourself to a good somatic specialist. Get yourself to somebody who'll work in the body. Get yourself to someone who understands emotional mastery, who's in motion focused therapy, because they are really great places to start. And that stuckness will become unstuck. And my hope is that through this conversation, you can understand that you can be in a really, 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 really difficult place, feel like Pandora's box is open, feel like there's no hope, there's no way out. There's, and I don't know, Billy, if I'm putting words in your mouth, but I certainly would have felt despairing at times in my early journey.
Yeah, absolutely beyond belief in pain. I mean, I would often hear stories, people would say to you, like, maybe someone's having a serious difficulty but like, what would be wrong with them? Like, there'd be no reason for them to be in pain. So I think what I would love to sort of say to people as well is try not to scare the hell out of yourself. certainly for me, I scared the hell out of myself. Thoughts that went on for me, emotional feelings. I convinced myself I was completely insane. And the idea of keeping the lid on that really served to kind of perpetuate it and make it bigger.
And I
think sometimes Christmas and COVID and all these big things can kind of trigger stuff.
And
I would just say, whatever's going on for you, you know, if you can, find someone that's safe to talk about it.
Yeah.
You know, document down a few bits that are reoccurring. They're very helpful. You know, if you think you're going crazy, you're not going crazy.
Mm-hmm.
This is something that needs worked on. There's help out there. Mm-hmm. There are people who want to listen. And my experience, even with friends, Shauna, outside of the therapy world, certainly as a new mom, you know, relatively new, and we laugh, I'm quite honest about how hard it is to be a parent as well. And all these mums coming forward going, thanks for saying it. Jeez. Because I'm all afraid to say that my two-year-old hasn't slept a night in 2 years. But now that you've just said it, happy days.
I'm okay. So that's
what we need to kind of do. Find someone safe to get real with.
Yeah, find someone safe to get real with. Find someone safe to understand the what am I feeling?
Yeah.
What am I saying to myself? Not the why, but the what.
Yeah.
If you can get somebody and you get yourself there to that place, then you begin the process of understanding, and you're so close to healing if you're in that what place. You're out of triggers, it's difficult and it's sore, and we have loads of other resources and videos that can help you on that. But I think that's the big key learner here, isn't it? That to come away from the cognitive stuff and come into the body and try and work with a what, and that's where the hope lies, really, isn't it?
Absolutely. And the telling yourself it's going to be okay, not in a cliche way, but quite often we sort of scare ourselves by telling ourselves we're this, we're that, we're thinking and feeling this way.
Yeah.
But it's about showing up for yourself, being your own friend, quite literally in the pain and saying, look, we can deal with this. It's okay.
Come
from somewhere. We'll find someone to help us unpack it.
Yeah, I think that's a lovely message to end on, I think, today. So thank you so much. That was a really lovely conversation, really natural, lovely conversation. Thank you, Billy. For anybody that's listening to this that wants more information and clear, and or Heidi, we are going to resource at the end of this loads and loads and loads of videos that'll take you in all sorts of different directions, but really fundamentally help you deepen into your understanding of your what, and therefore give yourself hope. So thank you so much for joining us, and we'll hope to see you all soon. Thank you guys. Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ellie. Thanks.